We're holding the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. We learned yesterday, the Mishnah had said that if a woman makes a neder that I won't have hana from people, so we said her husband can't be mefer, and we discussed why that would be. For one thing, first of all, we discussed the question, which we had a three-way machlokas amaroyim, whether her husband is considered part of Brios or not. Is she, as a result of that neder, also to have hana from her husband, or is she mutter to have hana from him and just also from other people? In any case, we said that, so there's a few different possibilities, one of them being, since the Mishnah continues, that she is able to have leket shikha and peya, then maybe that doesn't constitute nidre inri nefesh, because even if she is also to have hana from her husband, she can still have that. We had actually three different ways of learning. We had Ola's way that the Mishnah is telling us two different things. She is in fact mutter to have hana from her husband. And the Mishnah is saying a separate thing that anyway is so one thing he can't be made for because she's able to have hana from him, so there's no inri nefesh. And in addition, anyway, she can have leket shikha and peya. We had Rava's explanation that the reason he can't be made for is because even if she can't have hana from him, she can still have leket shikha and peya. And the third one was Rav Nachman had said that she is allowed to have hana from her husband. He's not included for this purpose in Brios, but the Mishnah is telling us something else. You should know, even when they get divorced, where at that point, then she'll be also to have hana from her husband because now he'll be considered part of Brios, but nevertheless, she'll still be able to have leket shikha. So then the only thing she'll still be able to have at that point is leket shikha and peya. So now the Gemara says, Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava asks Rav Nachman, so you're telling me, according to Rav Nachman's explanation, unlike Rava's, we're saying that the husband himself is not included in Brios. Obviously, the husband himself is a Brios, he's created by Hashem. But, in other words, by Nedarim, we go according to Loshem Ne'adam, and more to the point, in this case, we go according to what she intended. And since she doesn't necessarily intend, when she says a neder, that I won't have hana from Brios, she doesn't necessarily intend it to include her husband. So Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, how could you say that when she makes a neder about Brios or other equivalent terms that it doesn't include her husband? You're telling me the husband is not included in Brios, so that if she makes a neder from Brios, then automatically her husband is excluded. We learn at the end of the perek, a Mishnah that we've discussed a couple of times already in our perek. So we have a scenario. The Mishnah starts by describing over there three different statements that a woman might make that interfere with her marital relationship. So two of them are not nedarim, but they all go together because they have a similarity between them. That all of them, the Mishnah says, originally they said, the Chachamim said, just on those grounds she can get divorced. She's entitled to a get and a ksuba. And later on, the Chacham changed that. Anyway, we'll see that at the end of the Masechta. But in any case, the third one is a neder, where she says, "Mitula ani min ha-Yehudim." She says, "I will be removed from the Jewish people." Now, in context, what it means is, in other words, she's saying that I'll be also to have tashmish with anybody. So we discussed earlier in the parak, it may not be according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not necessarily inri nefesh. We said according to the Chachamim, that may well be a neder of inri nefesh, and therefore the husband can be made for it, just like any other neder of inri nefesh. But we said according to Rabbi Yossi, and we said all the Mishnayos in our perek after the first one are all according to Rabbi Yossi. They're all Stam Mishnayos, they're all according to Rabbi Yossi. We say that according to him, it's not considered inri nefesh, such a neder. So at most, it would be dvarim shebeina levena. It would be something that interferes with the relationship between her and her husband. So therefore, and we learned at the beginning of the perek that such a nedarim, pedal ramalav, at the top. So we learned at the beginning of the perek that the only, what the husband can do with nedarim shebeina levena, he can be made for them only to the extent that they affect him. So the Mishnah says, Yofer Chalkai, the husband is able to be made for his portion, meaning, in other words, the part of the neder that's relevant as far as him, that she's making herself also to have tashmish with everybody, which includes him, so he can be made for that part, because that's dvarim shebein alavena, or tehem shamashtoi. Now she's able to continue to have relations with him, because now her neder is bottle as far as that part. But shall we remove from the rest of the Jewish people as far as, in other words, that if her husband ever dies or divorces her, she will be also as a result of her neder to have tashmish with anybody else. In other words, she'll be also to be married. So you see, says Rava to Rav Nachman, if you're going to tell me the husband is not included in Brios, now okay, there she doesn't use the expression Brios, she uses the expression Yehudim. It amounts to the same thing for all purposes. The point is that she's making a neder that she won't have this kind of hana from anybody, and that anybody includes her husband. So if you tell me the husband is not included in Brios, like you and Nachman are saying, well then, Nidre Inre Nefeshain, then shouldn't we have to understand that we're not talking about a neder of, if the husband is not included in Brios, or in this case in Yehudim, then we would say, to begin with, she's not also in Tashmish with him, because the same way as in our Mishnah, if she says, I won't have Hanah from Brios, we're saying, according to Rav Nachman, it doesn't include her husband. The same way if she says that I won't have Tashmish with HaYehudim, then it wouldn't include her husband. So necessarily, therefore, now, Rava is saying implicitly, now obviously, what is she doing? Is she asking Tashmish with other people on herself? She's anyway also to them. She's married. So obviously then, you'd have to understand that this neder, netula ani min hayehudim, I'm removed from the Jews, would refer to a different kind of hana from them that she's asking to herself. So then, in other words, what is she asking? Necessarily, she must be asking some kind of hana. Well then, nidre inri nefeshim. In that case, then if she makes a neder not to have, for example, hana from the payrus of any other Jews, then that would be considered nidre inri nefesh. And nidre inri nefesh is nidre inri nefesh. The husband can be made for completely. So why would the Mishnah say yofer chelkei? Why would the Mishnah be saying only that the husband can be made for it as far as it concerns him? With Nidra in your nefesh, you don't have that. The husband is made for complete. So, given that on the other hand, the Mishnah does say Yofer Chelkei Tehem Shamashtei, then, and so obviously the Mishnah is referring to Tashmish, it's not referring to Peiros or anything else. So evidently we have to say that when she says Netula Ani Min HaYehudim, it does in fact include her husband. And if it includes her husband, then there you go. Her husband is included in Yehudim. By the same token, her husband would be included in Brios. The Rosh summarizes, he says anybody who's not part of Brios is not part of Yehudim either. Brios means anybody Hashem created. Yehudim means specifically Jews. So according to your logic, Rav Nachman, Rava is asking, she never asked herself to her husband in the first place, so there's nothing for him to be made for as far as himself. So what's going on over there in the Mishnah? In fact, the Rosh goes on to explain that you could conceivably explain the Mishnah as follows. You could say that, let's say the neder is on fruit from other Jews, on peiros from other Jews, then fine, you would say yofer chelkei, that he's able to be made for it to the extent where she'd be mutter to have hana from them while she's married to him, but not after they get divorced, because at that point the neder would be chal on them. In any case, the point is that Rava is saying that's not really what the Mishnah means. The fact that the Mishnah is using the expression that he can be made for his chelik implies that we're talking about something where there's a chelik for him there's a part of the neder that's relevant to him, namely that she's asking herself in tashmish to him. Well then, what's going on then? According to you, Rav Nachman, he was never included in the first place. The answer is, La'olam e'malach. La'olam e'malach, in fact, I can tell you that that shiny hocha, there's slightly different gersois over here. Avos Habach brings a gersa la'olam shiny. It's different over here. You can say the difference is you can always say the difference is over here. The shiny hocha, the mucha milsa, because it's very obvious that a tera calls her nafra, because that she asked herself in something that otherwise would have been mutter. In other words, let's think. She made a neder netula ani mina yehudim. What would that neder mean? If you said that it means, so assuming again that the neder means tashmish, then what's the point of the neder? She's anyway also to have tashmish with any other Jew except for her husband. So it becomes pretty obvious that if she's making such a neder and we're going to say that it refers to tashmish, then necessarily it has to be that there she did include her husband. In our Mishnah, when she says, I won't have hanah from Brios, maybe she means anybody else other than her husband. But over there, there's no way to say that, because what would be the point? She's anyway also to anybody else. So in that case,
she's only fashion, she's only right? She's only also to Brios with Tashmish, but not with other things.
Right, well, there, that's what we're talking about. In other words, when she says, Netula ani mina yehudim, we're saying that means that she is Netula, she's removed from them as far as Tashmish. So that's, Rava was bothered by the question that according to Rav Nachman, her husband shouldn't have been included in the neder anyway. What we're answering according to Rav Nachman is that this, in that particular case, it's very obvious she assured herself to her husband, because what else could she mean? She can't mean to assure herself to anybody else. She's already also to them anyhow. So necessarily, therefore, we're forced to say that in that case, Yehudim includes her husband. That doesn't necessarily follow that in our Mishnah, where she's able, under normal circumstances, to have Hana from her husband, as well as to have Hana from other people, that she should be also to her husband. Rav Nachman is saying, no, it doesn't have to mean that. It can mean that she meant that she's mutter to her husband all along. So the bottom line is,
we could say that in that case, that's different.
And on the other hand, if she meant in that case, if she meant that I won't have Hana from their payers, then it would be Nidre Inri Nefesh. And in that case, it could be made for, because Nidre Inri Nefesh, it can be made for anybody. In fact, the Ran adds also, you can't understand her neder to mean the Tulani Minay Yehudim. I'm also to have Anah from other Jews' payers when it belongs to them. But if the husband buys them, then Shumi Mutter, then in that case, what's the Yafel Chelker? Then the husband can't be made for anything at all based on our Mishnah, that then there's no Inu Nefesh involved. So breaking it down, since the Mishnah is saying that there is something that he can be made for, but only as far as Chelkai, only as far as his portion and no more, then we have to say that it's something that included her husband as well as everybody else. And the only way to do that would be if it was a neder. The only way would be if it was a neder of Tashmish. Netula ani mina yehudim implies Hana of Tashmish, that she's asking herself in that. So normally a husband wouldn't be included in Brias, but here, since obviously she's not asking herself with a neder from everybody else in Tashmish, because there'd be no point in it, then necessarily there it does include her husband. But Rav Nachman can still say that our Mishnah is different, because in our Mishnah, there's no particular, you know, in our Mishnah, where the neder is on Hana in general, then it could very well be that it doesn't have to include the husband to begin with. So that answers that. The halacha is like Rav Nachman, so the husband is not included in Brios. And when she makes a neder that I won't have Anah from Brios, then Takeh doesn't include her husband. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Yecholah lahonis b'leket shitcho peya. We said that she's allowed to have Hana from Leket Shikha and Peya. The point being, in other words, we were saying that that's not considered having Hana from people because, as we discussed briefly in the Mishnah, there's no Toivas Hana involved over there. Meaning, like this, when it comes to Truma and Meiser, you have the right to decide which Kohen should get your Truma and which Levi should get your Meiser. So that's called Toivas Hana. And the Gemara, this is what we're going to discuss later on Daf Pehei, whether that's mammon, whether that the fact is you're able to earn some money from that, because you can be, for example, you're a Jewish farmer, you have truma and meiser, you could have a friend of yours also a Yisrael comes over to you and says, you know, I have a nephew who's a kohen because my sister married a kohen, or I have a grandson who's a kohen because my daughter married a kohen. So please give him your truma, and if you do, then I'll give you some money for that. Instead of, since anyway you need to give away the truma, give it to him and I'll give you some money as compensation for the fact that you're doing that. So that kind of thing is called Tovas Hanah, and we're going to have a discussion on Daf Pehei whether that's considered mamun or not. Anyway, the point is, by matnas aniyim, by lekat shitcha and peya, and the other kinds of things that you have to leave for the poor people, it's not like that. You don't get to choose which aniyim are going to get it. You have to, you have to give it to whichever oni comes first. So now when she's having lekat shitcha and peya from people's fields, it's not considered that she's having hanah from them. And then again, we also discussed before in the three-way machlokes of Amoraim what the point is of mentioning that. Ula saying that the Mishnah is telling us two reasons the husband can't be mefer. Number one, because she can have anah from her husband, and number two, because she can have lekat shitcha and peya. And Rav Nachman saying, Rava saying that it means that she can't have anah from her husband, but she is able to have lekat shitcha and peya. Therefore, it's not inu nefesh. And Rav Nachman saying that the Mishnah is saying she could have anah from her husband. Once she's divorced, though, all she can have is lekat shitcha and peya. So now let's discuss that point about lekat shitcha and peya. The Gemara says, "V'loy katani over ma'isa oni." Now, the Mishnah did not mention ma'isa oni. Now, it is true that the Mishnah actually did leave out a couple of other matnas aniyim. When it comes to what you have to leave for the poor people in the fields or in the vineyards, you have up to five different things that you may have to leave. There's leket, which is when you drop one or two stalks of grain or one or two grapes while you're harvesting them. There's shikha, when you leave behind, you forget a bundle of grain or individual stalks of grain that you forgot to harvest or whatever. You have peya, the corner or the edge of the field or the vineyard or whatever that you have to leave for the poor person. You have two other ones as well. When it comes to grapes, you have two special ones that apply to them. There's peret, which is actually similar to leket. If you drop one or two grapes, then you have to leave them for the poor person. And you also have a special thing that applies only to grapes called olalois, which is where you have not fully developed clusters of grapes. Instead of having a normally shaped cluster of grapes with one lying on top of the other and the cluster going down over there and being fat on the top and then thinning out as it goes lower, olalos is you have like individual grapes attached here and there to the stalk. Those also, the Torah tells us, you have to leave for the poor people. So fine, it left those out, but fine. Okay, once it's mentioning lekat shitcha and peya, then fine, we're meant to understand that it means everything else that's left in the fields as well. So that's not really that the Mishnah left something out deliberately. But the point is, the Gemara is saying, v'loy katoni uva maisa oni. The point is, the Mishnah did not mention maisa oni. Now, maisa oni is a whole different category. So the Mishnah, if in fact she's entitled to take maisa oni, the Mishnah should have mentioned that. So why doesn't it? V'hatanya b'braisa of ma'isoni. And in fact, we do learn in a braisa that in fact the woman in this situation is allowed to take ma'isoni. So why didn't our Mishnah mention it? Amar of Yosef, l'kasha, harav l'yezer, haraban. So Rav Yosef says, as a matter of fact, there's no contradiction because our Mishnah and the braisa are according to two different tanoim. So the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah. Now you have like this. We know the whole concept of Dmai. We know the Chamim in the middle of the time of the second Beis Mikdash found that there were a certain number of the Amei Oret, not a majority, but there was a significant minority that were not taking Meiser from their produce. They were taking Truma because they knew that Truma, a person as high as Zor, as high as Nisif, for eating it. So they knew they had to separate out Truma, but they were careless about the other Meisers. So the Chachamim made the concept of Dmai, that when you're buying produce from Amei Oret, you have to take your own Meisers from it. Now, we have to remember, the whole thing is only a Suffet. So therefore, there are different rules, and there's an entire Masechet Dmai that deals with the ins and outs of these Dinim, but in particular, because it's a Suffet, you have some details that are different than with Vada. So you have, for example, So when it comes to, let's say, Maisa Rishon, so Maisa Rishon, a Vaday, you have to give it to a lady. Now, the fact is, the Maisa Rishon you give to the lady, okay, he takes that Trumas Maisa and gives it to the Kohen, but once the Trumas Maisa is taken, the rest of the Maisa Rishon is Cholin. The Levi, it doesn't have to be the Levi that eats it. The Levi now can sell it or give it to whoever he wants. It has no Kedusha at all. So now, with Dmai, the din is, you do have to designate Maisa Rishon, but you don't necessarily have to give it to the Levi, because you can always say, Motz Mechavel of Araya. You want to prove that you're entitled to this Maisa Rishon, prove that the Amaretz that I bought this grain from did not take Maisa Rishon. And the same thing with a number of the other things that you have to designate as well. You have differences. So now we're going to focus on the difference when it comes to Maisa Oni. Two years out of every seven, the third year and the sixth year, you give Maisa Oni instead of Maisa Sheni. So now a Mishnah in Dmai says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Einon of Tzarech Likus Shem on Maisa Oni Shal Dmai. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't even need to designate the name Maisa Oni for Dmai, because the Maisa Oni itself is mutter to anybody. It has no kedusha to it. So you don't have to actually give it to the poor person because I'm motzi. You don't actually have to give it to the poor person because I'm motzi mechaver l'baraya. So Rabbi Eliezer holds even if it was vaday, even if we know that you hadn't taken Maisa Oni, as the Gemara is going to discuss now, Rabbi Eliezer would say that if you didn't separate out Maisa Oni, then that tevel, a person is not chayiv nisa for eating. The Torah tells us that a person is also to eat tevel. There's a lav on it. And that if a person does eat tevel, he's chayiv nisa b'dei shemayim. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Maisa Oni, that the lack of giving Maisa Oni is not enough for it to be considered tevel. So you're not supposed to eat it, but you can't, a person's not chayiv nisa b'dei shemayim for it. So therefore, now when it comes to Dmai, where Bechlau, you have a suffix, whether you even have to give the Maisa Oni, then Rabbi Eliezer says, not only you don't have to give it to the poor person, not everybody agrees to, but you don't even need to designate it, he says. Whereas the Chum say, no, Kodesh Shem, you do have to designate the name of Maisa Oni. You do have to designate 9 or 10 or whatever it is percent of the produce and say that this is Maisa Oni. The Ein Tzarech LaHafrish, however, you do not need to actually separate it out because, yeah, you don't have to give it, you don't have to give it to the poor person. So you don't actually have to separate it out. Tosfos actually has a different girsa over here, and they say you do have to separate it out, but in other words, you don't have to actually give it to the poor person, because again, I'm Oitzim Chavel Abadai. Whatever the case, my lav, so now, shouldn't we assume that the underlying machlokas is as follows? Why is Rabbi Eliezer saying you don't even need to designate Maisa Oni, and the Chachamim are saying you do, given that after all, the Chachamim do agree that you're not giving it to the poor person? The Chachamim are only saying you need to designate it, because otherwise the rest of the grain is considered tevel. So why is that? So Lamanda almost sfeikoi tevel, because we would say, according to the opinion that Sofet Maisa Sheni makes that even Sofet Maisa Sheni makes that the rest of the grain is still tevel, and in fact the Ram says Vaday as well, but here we're talking about Sofet, so therefore we use the word sfeikoi. But anyway, the Chachamim would hold. The Chachamim would hold that since Maisa Oni is Toivol, it makes that the rest of the grain is still also to eat until it's designated. Well, Kosovar, the Nat Tana, the Chachamim would also hold Isrei Tovas Hana. Then they would hold that there is Tovas Hana in Maisa Oni. Kosovar Isrei Tovas Hana, So he would hold that the owner of the grain, the farmer, does have Tovas Hana, that he's able to decide which oni would be able to get it. The idea is like this. The Ran explains that the two things go together. If you hold that, where do we learn the concept of tevel from? So we have a pasuk that says, V'lo yichallu as kodshim b'nei Yisrael. They should not desecrate the kodshim of the Jewish people. Eis asher yarimu l'Hashem, that they will lift up for Hashem. So in context, the psukim are talking about that a kohen has to be careful with eating truma, not to eat it but truma, and so forth. But the Gemara also explains that from here we learn that you're also not that you're also not allowed to eat produce before the truma and ma'aser has been taken. Eis asher yarimu l'Hashem, that they will give, that they will lift up and designate for Hashem. Until they designate the parts that have to go to Hashem, then you're not allowed to eat the produce. So now, and the pasuk is saying, and the pasuk is saying, Eis asher yarimu, that they will lift up, which also implies that that it's up to them to do it. And if it's up to them to do it, then it means they have tovas hanah. So therefore, those two things go together. So if you say that with that not separating a particular miser makes the produce still tevel, then it means that you have tovas hanah. You have the right to decide who you're going to give that. Who you're going to give that that thing to? So the chachamim who hold that ma'aser oni will that a lack of separating ma'aser oni will make the produce tevel. Therefore, they say you have to separate, you have to designate out. You may not have to separate. According to Tosfos, maybe you do fine, but according to everybody else, you don't actually have to separate out the ma'aser oni from the pile. You just have to designate. You have to say the grain on the north side, 10% of the grain on the north side of the pile over here is ma'aser oni. Then, and until you do that, it's tevel. So the chachamim are going to say that if you needed to give it to the poor person, then you would have tovas hanah in it. In the case of Mai, you don't actually have to give it to them, but still, they would hold that there is tovas hanah when it comes to ma'aser oni. So getting back to the Gemara, so Lamanda on the Sfeika Tovel, so according to the opinion of the Chachamim, who say that even Sofet Ma'aser Sheni, not taking it out, makes the rest of the produce tevel, and you can't eat it until you designate it, Kasava Islay Tovas Hanah. That Tana, the Chachamim, would also hold that there is Tovas Hanah. You could take some money from somebody to give the Ma'aser Oni to a particular person. The Kivin de Islay Tovas Hanah. So now, according to that, since there is Tovas Hanah, then back to our Mishnah, when a woman made a neder not to have Hanah from other people, Loi Mahanya, then she wouldn't be able to have Hanah. She wouldn't be able to take the Ma'aser Oni because then she'd be having Hanah from those people. So our Mishnah would be according to that opinion, according to the opinion of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you b'chlal don't even need to verbally designate the ma'aser oni, because according to him, it doesn't make a tevel. Kasava seita in a tevel. He holds that suffik, or even vadai for that matter, ma'aser oni, does not make the rest of the produce tevel. Even if you don't designate ma'aser oni or separate it out, the produce is not tevel. A person is not chayav nisa for eating it anymore. So in other words, the din that we're learning from the pasuk below Yichalu as Kodesh Bnei Yisrael no longer applies to that grain according to him. Well then in that case the Eis Asher Yarimu L'Hashem, the fact that you have the right to determine who it should go to also doesn't apply. So V'chol Shesfeka in a Tova Less Le Tova Sanah. Then according to him there's no Tova Sanah V'Shari Le Sanuye. So now she will be able to have Hanah because her neder was only that she won't have Hanah from people, and this is not considered Hanah since the farmer does not have the ability to decide who should get the ma'aser oni in the first place. The Ran goes, so if we assume that way, then we have an answer why it is that the Mishnah and the Braisa seem to be contradicting each other on Mishnah, not mentioning that she can take ma'aser oni, implying that in fact she is also to take it. And the Braisa saying that she is mutter to take ma'aser oni, because the Braisa would be according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah would be according to the Chachamim. The Ran goes on to discuss that he says that this is the explanation I heard from my Rebbein, but the question is, so we understand how it is that Tovel and not Tovel leads to Tovas Hanah or not Tovas Hanah. But where's the underlying machloikas, whether ma'aser oni results, whether not giving ma'aser oni makes the rest of the produce tevel or not? Where are they getting that from? So the Ran explains like this. Think of it like this. The ma'aser oni was saying that it has no kedusha. You can give it to whoever you want. Any Zor is allowed to eat it. So there's no logic to the whole reason, the Ran explains, the whole reason why it would be, why is there such a thing as Tevil? Because you're not allowed to, the Zorim are not allowed to eat Truma, so therefore when the Truma has not yet been designated, in effect it's mixed in still in the pile of grain, then you can say the rest, then you can say all of the grain is also to eat, and the Torah calls it Tevil and makes the person Chayav Misa for it. But that should only apply to things that are also to Zorim to eat, or at least to things that there's a restriction on who can eat it. But when it comes to Maisoni, there's no such restriction. So why should not, so Rabbi Eliezer says, so Rabbi Eliezer is saying, why should not taking out Maisoni make the rest of the produce Tevil, and a person should be also to eat it and be Chayiv Misa? He's not Chayiv Misa, even if he ate the actual Maisoni itself. Meanwhile, the Chachamim have a drasha, the Gemara brings that we learned in Yevamos, that in fact the din of tevel applies to anything, even ma'aseh, because we learned from Gzeira Shava on the word b'sharecha. The pasuk says loy sucha lecha b'sharecha. You can't eat you can't eat in your gates, meaning in your cities. And the Torah lists a whole bunch of things that you're not allowed to eat b'sharecha, where in context it means that you're not allowed to eat them outside your shalayim. For example, Korbanos, and Maaser Sheni, and so forth. But also, we have Gzeira Shava, the word Bisharecha is also used in connection with the poor people who get Maaserani. So the Chachamim are saying, we learn Gzeira Shava then, not the same way, even though it is true, Maaserani can be eaten anywhere, the Aniyim don't have to eat it specifically in Yerushalayim, but you, the farmer, are not allowed to eat the produce until you take out Maaserani. So that would be why they're arguing on Tovel or not Tovel. In other words, basically, do they accept that Zerah Shava or not? Rabbi Eliezer does not. Chachamim do. And then the result of that, once they have that argument, then they would say that the results from that, the question of whether there is Tovah Sanah or not. So the Chachamim would say that there is Tovah Sanah. The Chum would say there is Tovah Hanah, therefore, to take somebody's Maaseh is to have Hanah from them, and since she's under a neder, not to have Hanah from people, then she can't do that. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say, there's no Tovah Hanah in it in the first place, she could take it Baal Korchon, and therefore, there's no Hanah, therefore she'd be allowed to. The Gemara continues, Omele Abaya, but Abaya says that's not really the answer. Abaya is saying that the fact that you can't say that the Mishnah and the Braisa are arguing it within on the same machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. No, we're not going to say that they're arguing over whether steak or tovel, and therefore the result of that is they're going to argue over whether there's tovel or not. The Kula Alma Steak or Tovel, we could say that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that not giving Maaseh Sheni makes the rest of the produce Tevel. So Rabbi Eliezer, we understand. We say there, so therefore the Chachamim will understand, rather. That's why you have to designate the Maaseh Ani. Why is Rabbi Eliezer saying you don't have to designate Maaseh Ani? Not because if you didn't designate Maaseh Ani, the produce is not Tevel, but because Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan Bahakamithi, all the machloikas between them is just this. Rabbi Eliezer Sovel and Nechshadu Amei Aretz HaMaaseh Sheni. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Amei Aretz to begin with are not suspect of failing to give Maaseh Sheni, because they have the whole reason. Why are the Aniyim suspect of not giving the various Maasers? Because there's a financial loss to them. Why should they're thinking to themselves, why should I have to take out 10% of my produce and give it to the Levi, and another 10% and have to schlep it to Yerushalayim or exchange it for money and bring that to Yerushalayim, or in some years take 10% of it and give it to the Aniyim? I can't be bothered. There's a financial loss. I don't want to do that. But when it comes to Maaseh, you could argue, Rabbi Eliezer says, there's no problem. Given the Ibn Machu Nichse, after all, the farmer himself could be Machu his property, Bahava Oni, and in fact, he himself then will be a poor person, Vishraka Lehu, and then he can take his own, then he can take the Maaseh Sheni that he previously designated. In other words, he has an actual way to accomplish that. So therefore, there'd be no reason for him to avoid giving Maaseh. He'll separate out the Maaseh, and if he's dafka so cheap that he wants to keep it for himself, then fine, he'll make his property hefker, he'll take the Maaseh, and then he'll be zeicha back in his property. That would be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. But Rabbanan Sabri, whereas the Chacham say, he's not going to do that. So I skipped a little bit over here in the Gemara. Kivin do the maskun nichsei, since he could be, if you would have the maskun as nechasim, v'hava oni, he would be poor, v'shaka leibu, and he could take the maisa oni, therefore less leib seda. Therefore he has no loss involved, so most, as it is most family or it's are careful with maisa anyhow, so most of them will give it no problem. If you have a particular ama or it's who's cheap, and doesn't want to, then fine, he has that loophole, so therefore he doesn't find the need to avoid giving mice a shame. So he might as well give it, and then he'll find a way to keep it for himself. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, now when you buy the produce for an Amoretz, you don't even need to designate mice on it, because you can be sure that the farmer already did that. But Rabbanan Sabri, nichse le machter inesh, the Chachamim are going to say, a person is not going to do that, he's not going to machter his property, the Mirsas, because he's afraid, Dirmuk Zachobo inesh Achrina. What about somebody else might be Zalcha in it? Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a sugya about Hefker. We said, with Rabbanan, for Hefker to be valid, you have to do it in front of a couple of other people, so that you have two of them can be Edim, and one of them conceivably could be Zalcha in it, if you wanted. So obviously the Ama Oretz is not going to do that in front of a bunch of people. For that reason, one of them may well go and take the property for himself. But even on a Daraisa level, we said over there that it's enough to give, that it's enough to just declare it Hefker even by yourself. Still, the Ama Oretz might be concerned, say the Chachamim, that somebody else is going to find out that he did it and then go grab the property for himself. Therefore, the Chachamim say that, yeah, the Ami Oretz are suspect of not giving Maiser Oni, just as much as they are suspect of not giving Maiser Rishon or Maiser Shein. So therefore, so the point is, Abaye is saying that you can't necessarily say that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim's argument is based on the question of whether there is Tovah Sana'ah. They may both agree that there is Tovah Sana'ah, because they're both saying that Seike Tovel, since they're saying that, since they would both agree that if you don't give Maisa Oni the produce Tevel, and together with that goes Tovah Sana'ah, because we said we're learning them from the same post. So therefore, according to Abaya, you don't necessarily have a way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. So according to Abaya, you could just as well understand Abaya and Eliezer and the Chachamim's argument differently. And if you do that, then you don't have a way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. So Rava gives a different answer. Rava says, fine, I'll give you a different way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. There's a difference between where the Maisa Oni that's being given in the house. Now you have like this. During the summertime, what you do is when you designate your Maisa Oni, you leave it in the granary over there, and the Aniyim themselves come and pick it up. As opposed to then when it comes the wintertime and it's hard for because the roads are muddy or whatever the reason would be, then you bring it into your house, and if there's any left, you bring it into your house, and the Aniyim come to your house and get it. Or, then the Ram says, some say the other way around, you start out in the wintertime, you bring it all into your house, and you give it out over there, then whatever's left during the summertime, then you take it and put it in the granary. Either way, the point is that there's different places where Maisa Oni is given out. And to a certain extent, those have different dinim. There's a Mishnah that tells us, at the end of Peah or something, that says that if you're giving it out in the Golden, then you have a minimum amount that you have to give each person. As opposed to when it's in the house, then even smaller amount, then you can give even smaller amounts. So here's another difference. So when you have, Rava is saying, can the Maisa Oni, I'm Schalach, the Seich HaBayis, there's a difference whether the Maisa Oni is being given out in the house, Dichtiva Bei Nesina. Because there, the Torah clearly uses the word giving. It says, "Venasata la Levi la Ger." It says you should give it to the Levi and the Ger Tzedek, meaning, in other words, for example, who doesn't own any land in Eretz Yisrael, etc. So then, Mishumahochi also Levi Sanri. So now that kind of Maisa Sheni of my Maisa Oni that's being given in the house, well, the woman made a neder not to have hana from any brias. So therefore, she's also to go to those houses and collect the Maisa Oni, because now she'll be having hana, because now the farmer has the right to decide who's getting his who's getting this ma'aser oni, because it says v'nasata. Can the ma'aser oni a meschalik b'seich hagra, and that is why, if that would be said a Mishnah, our Mishnah then is referring to that kind of ma'aser oni, therefore our Mishnah left out the words ma'aser oni. Can the ma'aser oni a meschalik b'seich hagra, as opposed to the braisa is talking about ma'aser oni that is being divided, that's being given out in the grain. Now there the pasuk doesn't use the expression that you give it. There the pasuk uses the expression that you place it in your gates, meaning you place it there and they come and take it themselves. So therefore, so now she'll be able to have hana from that because she's not actually receiving it directly from the farmer. She's taking it from the pile that he left over there for that purpose. So therefore, so that would be what the Brai says talking about when it says that she could take my son. So the Mishnah doesn't mention that detail. The Mishnah doesn't mention that detail because the Mishnah doesn't want to get into that level of detail between summer and winter. But Rav is saying that would be what it is, that there's a difference between where it's being given out. And in fact, the Ran brings from the Sifri that you actually have, the Sifri says it a little bit differently. This that we say, the difference between summer and winter, the Sifri learns out from this from these very psukim that the Gemara is bringing over here. The Gemara just brought over here, the fact is that the result is one of them you're giving and one of them you're leaving. The Sifri actually starts from the other side of it and says, what do you mean? How do we reconcile the psukim? And the answer is one's talking about during the summer and one's talking about during the winter. So once we establish that, then we say one of them it says Venasata, the other one not. Therefore, there'll be that difference about whether she's allowed to have Hana from it or not. And that would be the Mishnah, that would be the Mishnah versus the Braisa. Okay. Shabbat, everyone.